We're going back to 1 Peter, back to the passage we looked at last week, but we're going to concentrate on the last two verses of it. But we read from 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. You who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief or heaviness in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Peter is writing to Christians under pressure. We saw last week how Christians are under pressure. I showed you little picture of Iniesta the footballer, surrounded by his opponents. Thank you for all who pointed out to me those were Croatian opponents and not Serbians. Thank you. And the men enjoyed pointing that out to me. But the point is still this. This guy was under pressure, but he was going to get through. And we come to this passage, the last couple of verses of that passage, which I just skated over. In fact, I just feel I'm skating over them today. They're so profound. But you are receiving, says Peter, you are receiving the salvation of your souls. The soul is not a detached spiritual part of us. We are, in essence, souls in biblical language. We are a soul. And we are receiving the salvation of our soul, of our whole being. And God has chosen to transform us into his image, cleaning us up, setting us down, re-establishing us and making us come out good. That's God's aim for you and me. He didn't have to do it, but he chose to do it. There was an idea some time ago that God can set the world in motion and set back. You still come across it today. Like God said, you find it in scientific circles. God created the world, the universe through the Big Bang, and that's the mind of God. Then he's kind of sat back and left it to its own devices. Like as if the universe were a big train set that God set going and got bored and went and played with this scale X trick instead. That's not how it is. God loves the world. God loves the universe, and throughout billions of years, God has been nurturing the universe. He's involved in it. And our pathway to salvation is in God's hands, though it might lay, as we saw last week, sometimes through troubles. But we all of us, have God's DNA, spiritual DNAs. God has given you and me the spiritual DNA of Jesus Christ. And that is what changes us. We had a wedding a couple of weeks ago, a lovely wedding, and which very musical wedding, a musical family. And one of the bride's brother-in-law was playing trumpet. He's a professional trumpeter in one of the big orchestras. And it was sublime. It was just wonderful. But I was chatting to his parents afterwards at the reception, and they say, "Oh yes, and his sister is as good a musician as he is." And I said, "Are you two musicians then?" They said, "No, we don't play a thing." I said, "Come on, there must be, how about the grandparents? There must be music in this family." He said, "Ah, well, yes, his grandfather played piano by ear and so on. They began sort of mentioning members of their family who were wonderful musicians. So the DNA was there. The DNA of music is in that family somehow. And we have this, the spiritual DNA of Jesus that's bearing fruit. So we should expect miracles, because you and I have the DNA of Jesus in our spiritual life. We should expect miracles to happen around us. We should expect our prayers to be answered. We should expect God to do mighty things in our life, because that is what God does. If we're receiving salvation, then wonderful things should happen around us. So we're going to ask you this morning what it is you want, because at the close of service we're going to pray in belief, in sure conviction that God is going to hear our prayers and do wonderful things among us. That can be surprising. I thought I'd treat you to a little bit of the Alpha course this morning. This is one of the Alpha videos. The Alpha course continues on Tuesday. Here, if you've not joined the Alpha course yet, it isn't too late. There will be a little stall through in the hall, and Mr. Alpha Lawrence is down here under the balcony, and just wave your hand in the air. There's Mr. Alpha himself. He'd love you to join the Alpha course on Tuesday. Nicky Gumbel is a great speaker. This is how Nicky Gumbel encountered, before he became a minister, the ministry of a man called John Wimber. And there was healing going on in the meeting, though Nicky at the time was a little bit cynical about it. Anyway, this is Nicky's testimony of what happened.
The following evening, he was speaking over in church house. To anyone who was in a small group in the church, one of my small churches, I'd say, were about 250 people, and were crammed into the church house. I had been caught that day practicing as a barrister. I was wearing a three-piece pinstripe suit, stiff white collar, looking very pompous, and I was late. Everyone, I was late. And you know how it is in the Anglican Church. We fill up from the back. First people to arrive take the back seats. And so the only seats left when we arrived were the front two seats. So the people and I went and sat right in the front. Again, he spoke on the subject of spirit and healing. And again, he said that this team had had various words of knowledge. And again, he gave out some of these words of knowledge, and people started to stand up all around the room. Then he said, there are 10 people here who have athlete's foot. Now, I happen to have athlete's foot, but I was not going to stand up. 9 people stood. And I was sitting next to my wife, who heard she was going like this. That's you. And I was saying, no, I'm fine. But eventually the pain in my ribs became so intense that I decided to be less painful if I did stand up. So I stood. And this very nice American on the ministry team, he came over and he said, would you like me to pray for your athlete's foot? So I said, no, thank you very much indeed. You have an athlete's foot. He said, well, I find it very satisfying being able to scratch it when it itches. So he was extraordinarily gracious, because he said, well, is there anything we could pray for? So I said, well, what I would really love to pray for is the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. So he said, okay, we'll pray for that. And he started to pray. All I can say is that after about 30 seconds, I experienced the power of God in a way that I had never experienced before in my life. I know this is not true for everybody, but for me there was a physical manifestation. It was like 10,000 volts of electricity going through my body. In fact, it was so intense, I really couldn't take it anymore. But this American, I think he only just joined the ministry team because he only had one prayer that he prayed. And his prayer was, more power, Lord. And every time he prayed this prayer, the power increased. So eventually, I didn't know what to do. I thought, the only thing I could do was pray against him. So I started praying, no more power, Lord. Because he only had this one prayer, he carried on, more power. And eventually, it was kind of shouting. straight off between him and me, right in the center. By this stage, everybody else in church house had stopped praying and was watching what was happening right there. I think John Wimber must have had difficult people in his meetings before, because he said, "Oh, take that one out." So they carried me out through the French windows of the church house. And as I was being carried out, John Wimber said this. He said, "God is giving that man the ability to tell people about Jesus." And although it was never something I was very good at, it was something I really longed for. And so that night, when I got home, I started to really read the Bible to see what it says on this whole subject of healing and the kingdom of God.
Salvation, you are receiving your salvation, Peter says. And the salvation of God comes to us. But it's kind of messy. It's bitty. And it's not complete yet. I was very taken aback, as you all know, by the Paralympics. And we showed a video here of some of the Christian Paralympic athletes talking about the power of God in their lives and how God was using them. And it was tremendously moving. You might be interested in our church. When we began years ago we decided we would pray for healing in the church. We didn't do that until we'd sat down and written out a charter for healing. And this is part of the charter of healing that's available from the church office, the whole thing if you want it. We wrote this: those who offer prayer for healing may also be those who want prayer for healing. Similarly, those asking for prayer may also be those who pray for others on another occasion. People who offer comfort may need comfort. People with disabilities may also be intercessors for healing. The church betrays its calling if it conducts its public healing ministry in a way which is not accessible to people with disabilities. The integrity of the healing ministry cannot be separated from access to that ministry. So we believe that salvation comes to us as we pray and as we go on through Christian life. But it's messy, it's patchy, it's unpredictable. But it's something that we all as Christians have. We have the spiritual DNA of Christ. Bill Johnson wrote, "Many would experience healing if they would just serve someone else. I have seen numerous times when people who are praying for someone else's healing get healed themselves in the process. I confess I've not seen that, but I'd love to. Just wouldn't it be lovely out at the close of service, our ministry team prays for people. If one of them suddenly says, 'Hey, I've been healed as I've been praying for others,' and why not? That's the way God works. So if you're seeking healing, don't stop praying for others. Please don't get so caught up with your own problems and your own difficulties that you cease to pray for others, because it may well be that as you pray for others, God's healing will come to you. And this morning I just want to say two things. And the first is this: faith is strengthened when you believe without seeing. If you come back to verse 8 of this chapter in 1 Peter 1. Though you have not seen Jesus, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. You and I, unlike the Apostle Peter, of course, we have never seen Jesus. He had seen Jesus. He spent 3 years traveling with Jesus, learning from Jesus. But he says, you haven't seen Jesus yet, you believe in him. And you rejoice. You found Jesus in your heart, and it's wonderful. That's how it works. Jesus himself predicted that in John 20, 21. Doubting Thomas ceased to doubt. And Jesus says to him, Jesus is alive, he's risen from the dead, and Thomas, who's been the one holding out, who refuses to believe until he sees Jesus, meets with Jesus, and Jesus says, "Listen, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That's you and me. How blessed we are. We've not seen Jesus, and yet we believe. Would you allow me this morning just to take that a little bit further? Because Peter goes on to say that we are receiving our salvation. And there's an aspect of not seeing, which isn't just about not seeing Jesus, but I think we could extend this to unanswered prayer. Because you see, sometimes we're scared to pray because we might not get an answer. Or we remember times when we didn't get an answer. And that perturbs us. That stops us praying. That switches off our prayer switch. And we say, I'm not going to pray. Well, what's the point? But that is to misunderstand the power of unanswered prayer. It's not often you hear a sermon on that. When they invented cars, they needed tires. Obviously, a cartwheel with a steel band around it was not going to work, or the Lamborghini. So they invented tires. And the first tires were solid rubber, which was expensive, and solid rubber, it's kind of not a great material in itself to make a tire from. So they decided they would go for something different, and they would put air in tires. But the rubber's just a bit squidgy and soft to put air in. It's not really very good. But they discovered that if you weave a steel thread around the tire, it strengthens it. And those steel threads were woven into the tire to make the basis of the modern tire. You know, your unanswered prayers are the steel threads that give your spiritual life strength. Your unanswered prayers give you faith and strengthen your faith. Unanswered prayer can be very good for you if you allow it to be. A couple of weeks ago, I was given a testimony of a friend of mine who had ME for 25 years. And God kept me praying for her healing. I believed for 25 years God would heal her. And then I got an email saying that she'd found this new method, this thing, and she was going to the gym. And she was doing her shopping herself, and it's changed. And I realized that God had kept me praying for 25 years for this friend. God had made me keep on remembering. He wouldn't let me forget her, because I had a lesson to learn, which is this, that unanswered prayer was one of the steel threads in my spiritual life. That persistence to keep going was keeping me close to God. It was doing me good. Unanswered prayer is part of the salvation that we receive. Apostle Paul knew this. He says it quite clearly in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 8 and 9. He had some thorn in his flesh. We don't actually know what that was. He says, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest in me. He knows that his unanswered prayer has strengthened him. Has strengthened him. Made him all the more anxious to pray more. Because he's seen that when God doesn't answer prayer, he becomes stronger. So what happens when God does? Gets even better. He says in verse 7, just the verse before, this has stopped me from being conceited because of the surpassingly great revelations. God's given me this thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. But that unanswered prayer was a blessing to him. One of my favourite unanswered prayers was the famous missionary called Amy Carmichael. She spent 55 years in India as a missionary. She died the year I was born, in fact. And in India, she dressed in Indian clothes, and she spent a ministry rescuing girls who'd been sexually abused. But when she was a young child in Ireland, she was really upset because she had brown eyes. She so wanted blue eyes. And her prayer as a child was that she would wake up one morning and have blue eyes. And it never happened. It never happens. Years later, as a missionary in India, she said, "Thank God I don't have blue eyes. My brown eyes just help me blend in to the culture and the people I'm serving." And an answered prayer that was a blessing. Pressing forward without seeing Jesus. Bill Johnson says, "Feed your hearts on what God is doing without stumbling over what he has not done or does not seem to be doing. Remember, an answered prayer is part of your spiritual formation. It's the steel which keeps you going in the tough times. You know that you can keep going even when God doesn't answer prayer. You carry on going. And God has a purpose even in that. God loves you. And you believe without seeing, and you press forward. Faith is strengthened when you believe without seeing. And in verse 9 we find that faith is strengthened as we receive our salvation. You're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. I love the present tense there. You are receiving the salvation of your souls. But it isn't complete yet. You haven't got all your salvation yet. That's still in the future. That's still in glory. That's still waiting for you. And for me, as when we step into Jesus' presence in glory. But we are now receiving this lovely flow of salvation. What God is doing in us, he's doing. Because we are receiving salvation. And miracles, you know, just sometimes they just barge in there. Miracles that happen in our lives, that's heaven breaking in and rearranging the furniture. That's heaven breaking in and cleaning up the mess. Miracles are opening the curtains so we can catch a glimpse of heaven's glory. Miracles are pointing us to the light of eternity. And there are times you're waiting for a miracle. There's a lovely story in John chapter 5, John's Gospel chapter 5, verses 5 to 9. And in this story, there's a guy there. He's been unable to walk for 38 years. And Jesus sees him lying there. And Jesus learns that he's been in this condition for a long time. And Jesus asks him, "Do you want to get well?" Good question. Maybe he didn't want to get well. Maybe he was okay. He wanted something else. Always ask. Never assume that people want what you think they want. "Do you want to get well?" "Yes," the man said. I want to, but there's no one to help me." And he's by a pool. And the belief was that when the water was stirred, it was an angel. The first one in the pool would get better. Because he couldn't walk, he was always the last. And Jesus says, "I'll tell you what. Stand up. Pick up your mat and walk." And the man feels his legs and he gets strength in his legs. He jumps up, picks up his mat, and he walks home. But he was waiting for a miracle. Waited a long time for a miracle. There's a great ministry going on in America with a church called Bethel Church in a place called Reading. And one of the ministers is a guy called Randy Clark. Randy has a healing ministry, but he took ill. He had problems, a spinal problem. He got to the point. He says that he couldn't put his foot on the floor without pain. He was given a very powerful painkiller and prescription strength ibuprofen. And he went to physical therapy 6 days a week for 90 days. Couldn't walk without crutches. Couldn't sit on a chair. Eventually he was given two epidurals and told if that didn't work he'd need surgery. And this went on for a long time. This guy has a healing ministry, praying for others, praying for healing. He was sick himself. And then suddenly the breakthrough came completely unexpectedly. First, his oldest son, 20-year-old son, rang him up. Randy Clark was in Japan. His son was in Japan, and Randy Clark was in America. And he rang him up and prayed over Skype. God invented Skype for a reason, guys. Yeah. Prayed over Skype for his dad. And when he'd finished, the pain was gone. It still hurt when he put his foot on the ground, but the pain was nearly gone. And that carried on for some time. Then one morning, Randy Clark woke up, reached for his crutches, put his foot on the floor, and it didn't hurt. Stood up without the crutches. No pain. Went out, walked downstairs, everything was fine. And he couldn't work out what happened. Later that day, he got an email from a friend who said that he'd been in a service and he'd seen a vision. He'd seen Randy Clark and he'd seen his spine with a vision and he'd seen what needed to be done. And in his vision, he kind of pushed his friend's spine, sort of in the vision, as it were, sort of. As he did so, he felt God healing his friend at a distance. That's what had happened. And Randy Clark was healed. He'd been waiting on a miracle. It took a while, took a long time. Sometimes it does. But he was receiving his salvation, and God healed him. You can be desperate for a miracle. You can wait for a long time. It's interesting, I was thinking, I became a chronic migraine sufferer some years ago, as some of you know, prayed for me at the time. A number of you prayed for me. I stayed behind in these sessions for prayer. And after a while, I was having 6 migraines a month, three days each, a migraine. You can imagine how much work I was getting done. And then I heard a series of processes. Eventually, I heard of a physiotherapy technique invented in Australia, exactly for people who had problems like mine. And I went along, and praise God, I've not had a migraine for 2 years. But what's interesting is there's 2 people involved with our fellowship who have now, I've told about them, they've gone to the same physiotherapist, and their migraines have gone. In fact, last week I spent time explaining to somebody else whose friend had the same problem, their friend's going to the same physiotherapist. You know, it takes time. You're waiting on a miracle. When it comes with power. God's good. In my case, it came through physiotherapy. But you see what I mean? How God is now using that for other people. You can be desperate for a miracle. And there are people who are desperate for miracles. Years ago, when we were in Brazil, one of our church members, one of my church leaders, a man called Vittorio, a wonderful friend of mine, couldn't read or write, but a man of God, who brought, you should be sure his children grew up to read and write, and just a wonderful man of God. He took ill, and the hospital, he didn't have enough money to pay for decent treatment, and the hospital didn't really bother because he was poor. And in the end, he got worse and worse, so he took him to a regional hospital. It was a Roman Catholic hospital, and it was very good staff. And they took him in, even though there was no money, but they took him in. And they operated. And when the doctor operated, he discovered that Vittorio was suffering from a perforated bowel. In fact, it had perforated days before, and the other doctor had done nothing about it. And the doctor just patched him up, sewed him together, threw a bit of antiseptic powder in there, and left him, sent him back to the ward to die. There's nothing, he'd beyond his medical powers to heal him. He did what he could, but he knew it wouldn't be enough. And Victoria slipped into a coma, and my church secretary went to visit him, because it was a good way down the road. And he came back, he said, "We've got to pray, guys, we've got to pray. He's at death's door." And we all prayed. He was in a town 50 miles away. And I went the next day to be honest, I went to comfort a widow. I expected to have to comfort a widow. And I walked into the hospital. I walked into the ward. And there was Vittorio in bed. He opened his eyes and said, "Oh, good morning, Pastor. How are you? What's happened to this guy?" And the nurses gathered around me. They said, "Pastor, have you seen this miracle?" The sisters were nuns, by the way. They said, "Pastor, have you seen this miracle? Have you seen? We've never seen anything like this in our lives." The doctor came and he said, "Victoria, I want you to tell the world that God healed you, because it certainly wasn't me. I did nothing that would possibly have restored you to this condition." We were desperate for a miracle. And God provided it. So we go back to 1 Peter 1, verse 9. Paul, I'm just jumping that other Bible verse I had. You are receiving the salvation of your souls. You know? And receiving the salvation of your souls involves miracles. For all of us. Some are more dependent than others. Some of us need miracles more than others. But miracles happen, and miracles multiply. And sometimes, you know, when you're on the cutting edge of a mission, you need miracles. I was in a town where I didn't live some time back, in Brazil, and I was called to the hospital. Peter, there's a girl in the hospital who needs prayer. I went to the hospital, and this young girl didn't know of, she was a friend of someone in the church. She just had an appendicitis operation. She was in terrible pain. Bit of a drama queen, must be said. But she really wasn't struggling. She was giving everyone a rough time. This pastor come to pray for her. He said, "Pastor, pray for me, in so much pain." So, yeah, go on, sure, I'll pray for you, no problem. Just held her hand. Just prayed in Jesus' name. And as I prayed, she calmed. And as I finished the prayer, she smiled and said, "Thank you." I went home. And I got the word back next day. I said, "She'd be a driver queen." She said, "If that pastor hadn't prayed for me, I'd have died of the pain." Well, you know, it wasn't me, it wasn't anyone. It's just God. She needed a miracle, and God gave her a miracle. And miracles happen in an atmosphere of faith. Again, forgive me, just telling the stories. I had a congregation in Brazil. Some of the poorest people are right out in the middle of nowhere. And they said, "Pastors, we've got some people really ill, and we believe God's going to heal them. But we thought we'd wait until you arrived before we had our prayer meeting." No problem. So we went along, and there's no building. We met in the middle of the field. And there's a circle of us. I remember it now. It's a lovely warm day, of course, being Brazil, and in the middle of this circle. It's about a dozen or 15 of us. And three people, desperately concerned. Now, these are poor people. They had no money for expensive medical treatment. He said, "Pastor, we're waiting for you because we believe God's going to heal. Would you come and pray with us?" So I prayed, and I tell you, it's a prayer meeting like your dreams. Just there was a power there. There was a faith there. We were praying together, and we just prayed. I didn't see anything particularly happen. But we prayed, and they said, "Thank you." We hugged each other. I went home, and then I got the message, "Pastor, God healed all three of those people that day." Isn't it wonderful? You are receiving the salvation of your souls, you know? But it's bitty, isn't it? It's bitty. It works, you know, sometimes you get instant, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes God says no, but that unanswered prayer strengthens you. But what I want you to do is trust in the power of prayer. God wants you to pray. The worst that can happen is that you won't get an answer, but even that will strengthen you. So why don't you pray more? Why don't you go out on a limb and pray? Why don't you stay behind at the close of our service and ask for prayer? Perhaps you're not well. Perhaps there's something in your family not well. Perhaps, like Nicky Gumbel, you're content with your athlete's foot but want some of the power of the Spirit. Whatever, you know. We're not here to dictate what you want. Whatever it is that you want, why don't you stay behind? Our team will happily pray for you.